all of you. Before we have some singing, I was just going to ask Kathy. She's just been a very important part of this fellowship for almost 31 years, and she's been such a great help to me and ministering to God's people, and very thankful for all that she's done. She's been such a great part of this fellowship. Would you, since it's your birthday yesterday, would you like to share something, anything?
Well, I could share all day, but I'll try to hold it. Starting when I was, that I remember, around 12 years old, I always wondered if there was a God, you know, and I didn't know how to find out. I went to church with a few people and stuff like that, but I can remember laying in my bed and going, is there a God up there talking to the ceiling, you know? Well, eventually, when I was around, I think around 17, 18, 19, my girlfriend became a Jehovah's Witness. So then she got married. She married a Jehovah's Witness. And so she used to send me all their books. So I would read them. And the only thing I remember reading in there that blessed me was the chapter on when you're dead, you're dead. The dead know not anything. Because my grandma used to talk about weird stuff, you know, being, you know, the angel of death and all this. And it so it blessed me. It got rid of fear in my life. And it made me even more open to hearing the word. And sure enough, sooner or later, at a poker game, a guy told us about this class that he had taken. One of the guys at the poker game kept taking the Lord's name in vain. And this guy corrected him. And we'd never heard anybody do that before. And then he told him why. And so Mike asked him afterwards, well, why did you do that? I mean, how did you have the guts to do that? And he said, well, I took a class, and it taught me how to read the and understand the Bible. And then so he said, later on, somebody contacted him, and they found out he was, you know, sharing gifts and sending them back to wherever it was he took the class. So they called up Bruce Mahone. And he told Bruce Mahone about us, and we went over and met, some of you know Bruce Mahone. We went over and met him. He was about 19 years old at the time. And we were watching him. You know, he just was like the happiest person we'd ever seen walking around. And some of the, you guys have heard this story before, but finally, he just looked at, he sat down on the floor, and he opened up his Bible, and he said, did you know that Jesus Christ came to give you the more than abundant life? We went, no, we don't know that. So he got us to take the class, and that was the beginning of our great adventure in learning God's word. And the biggest blessing in my life is to know God's word and to share knowledge and believing with, you know, my partner, my love over there, that we are like-minded about that. And then to have Holy Spirit, because, you know, in 50, it's getting close to 50 years since I first heard all that stuff about the word and started learning about it. You have to have the word in your mind to believe. So whatever situation of life, some of them, you never give it a second thought because, you know, you've just done it so many times you don't even think about it. But you have to have the word in your mind that blesses you and inspires you so that you can believe. And the other thing that's come up, so and you can't get too much of it. It is an ongoing process, and it's rich. I've been reading, haven't taken classes for all those years, and it's still rich every single time. It's just so alive. And the other thing is having Holy Spirit, and one of the one thing benefit of having Holy Spirit that I will mention is that you can pray perfectly when you don't know what to pray for. And that has been a very valuable asset in my entire life, because that comes up many times. You don't know what to pray for, but you can pray perfectly by the Spirit. So without keeping you here all day, that's what I have to share.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. You're an inspiration to me, especially in the last 3 years, all that you have gone through, and you're just faithful and still trusting and believing God, so you inspire me. So, how about some songs? If you would, take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Today's Sunday, January 22nd, 2023. This morning, we're going to review just a, not an in-depth review, but just a review of a very familiar phrase Born again. Born again. And we're starting in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, and I think you probably know that gifts is in italics, so it was added by the translators. It would be much better translated. Now concerning spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. This is a church epistle. This is addressed to those who are born again. And God's word says he doesn't want us ignorant. And, you know, sitting through the foundational class again, I'm just reminded about how not understanding the first three chapters of the book of Genesis, the very beginning of the Bible, not understanding it has led to so much ignorance concerning spiritual matters. God originally designed for human beings to be three parts, body, soul, and spirit. So the body, that's really easy to understand, right? Soul, which a lot of times people get a little bit confused. It's not this bubble that inside of you somewhere that when you die, it floats up somewhere. Soul is breath life. Soul life is breath life. God's word says that God breathed into Adam's nostrils and he became a living soul. So that's soul life. And then there's spirit. You hear people many times say that human beings, we are all in the image of God. Have you ever heard that? We're all in the image of God. Well, no. The Bible says that God created Adam and Eve in his image. Doesn't say every human being after that was created in his image. God created Adam and Eve in his image. Well, what's his image? What's the image of God? What does God look like? You know, to say that we are all human beings are in the image of God is a little egotistical. It's like to say that God has eyeballs, just two like us, or maybe he's God, he's got three. But Word of God says that, and we'll look at this verse in just a little while, that God is spirit. The Bible says a spirit has no form. God is spirit. So originally, God's original plan for human beings was for us to have a body, for us to have soul life, which is indicated by breathing. When a person takes their last breath, soul life is gone. Body, soul, and have the spirit of God in them. Adam and Eve had two life forms, soul life and spirit life. And when they disobeyed God, one of the consequences was when God said, in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. One of the consequences was that they did die. But we know from reading more of Genesis that Adam lived for hundreds of years after that, right? What kind of life did he have that he lived hundreds of years after that? Soul life. He lost spirit life. That's what died when God said, you shall surely die. So they lost spirit life. When you lose life, it's called death. They still had soul life, but no spirit life. And just understanding that clears up so much, and it also opens the door for great understanding of spiritual matters. So his original intention was for human beings to have a body, have soul, like the animals do, but us, humans, have spirit. They lost spirit, and at that point, God began working on a plan to redeem mankind, to provide a Savior that would result in, among other things, making spirit again available. Go to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. This wonderful record here in John 3. There are many references in the Old Testament concerning the coming of the Savior and what he would accomplish. There are verses of God promising to reinstate Holy Spirit. There are promises in the Old Testament of a future kingdom, the kingdom of God to come. And Jesus Christ taught about both of those things, if you're familiar with the Gospels. On a number of occasions, he talked about the Comforter's coming, Holy Spirit. And how many parables can you think of that Jesus Christ started that said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto, or the kingdom of God is like. He taught lots about that. So with that little bit of background, John chapter 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. Now you might think Jesus, especially with a religious leader there, as much problems as he had with those guys, always after him. And now here's a Pharisee saying, well, we know you're a teacher come from God. Maybe you and I would have said, well, it's nice that somebody finally notices. You and all your buddies are out to try to... Look how he responded. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Wow, he just launched into something wonderful, a great spiritual truth. The word again is the word anathema. It means from above, meaning God. Except a man be born again, born from above, or born from God, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Nicodemus in verse 4 said, wait a second, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? What are you're talking about being born? I'm already born. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's two different births. And water would represent the first birth. You know how the baby is tucked away in that nice little swimming pool in there? That, verse 6, that he clarifies it, that which is born of the flesh, which is born of water, is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again, born from above, born from God. Marvel not. And so again, this section is dealing with birth. I think the word born comes up, I don't know, 7 or 8 times. That's the context here. It's a birth. It's a birth. Two births. And how clear Jesus made it that being born again, born from above, is to be born of the Spirit. It's not figurative. There are two literal births here. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Then that verse 8, the wind blows where it listeth, wherever it wants to. And you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell whence it comes and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Wind is the word in Greek, pneuma, and it's almost always translated spirit. Why they didn't translate it spirit there, I don't know. But they translated it wind. And bloweth is much better translated breathes. The Spirit, God, breathes where he wills. Now, God doesn't literally breathe. He doesn't have lungs like we do, right? So I think we talked about this last week. When human characteristics are given to God, it's a figure of speech to bring emphasis. God, humans breathe, and when we breathe, we produce words, right? So God produces words, and a person can hear the evidence of God's breathing or producing words. But we can't see God, who is Spirit. And that might remind you of that verse that says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And then you have in Timothy, all Scripture, God breathed, right. So it is with everyone who is born of God, born of the Spirit, born from above, receiving the gift of Holy Spirit. A person can't see the Spirit, right? But you can see the evidence of the Spirit when it's manifested, like we did this morning, hearing interpretation of tongues and a word of prophecy. So the context here is this spiritual birth that Jesus Christ came to make available. Nicodemus did not understand this. Jesus answered in, did we read 9? Oh, verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto Jesus, how can these things be? I don't get what you're saying. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and you don't know these things? Meaning he should have, right? He's a Pharisee. He's a ruler. Jesus called him a master. He didn't understand spiritual matters. And he either wasn't taught or he didn't understand God's great plan to restore, reinstate Holy Spirit that Adam lost. And what Jesus shared with him didn't, should have maybe, but it didn't trigger the prophecy in Joel. Keep your finger here. Go to Joel chapter 2 in the Old Testament. I mean, you would have thought that maybe hearing Jesus say what he was saying might have triggered that. Joel, right after Hosea, right before Amos. 2, chapter 2, verse 28. This is a prophecy of something coming. Joel 2:20. I'll wait till everybody gets there. It's like, where in the world is that book? Some of those short books in the Old Testament, it's like you go back and forth and you just, there it is, Joel chapter 2. Everybody got it? Good. Verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And it's really noteworthy that in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the day that the Holy Spirit was finally available, Peter quoted this. That's very noteworthy, right? Peter wasn't a Pharisee or a ruler. Nicodemus didn't ask Jesus, oh, is this what I've read in Joel? Didn't trigger. Nicodemus didn't say, oh, are you referring to when you said enter into the kingdom of God? Are you talking about what Micah in the book of Micah chapter 4 was talking about the kingdom coming? Or in Daniel chapter 7? Is this what you're referring to, Jesus? Nope. He didn't ask about that record in Numbers 11 about Moses. Go to Numbers 11 and then we'll go back to John. I'm not being critical of Nicodemus, but Jesus Christ said, you don't know these things? Numbers 11, sometime you can read the whole record. Moses had the Spirit of God. In the Old Testament, before Spirit was available for everybody, God graciously granted some people to have Spirit. Moses had Spirit, and God said, I'm going to give you some help. I'm going to put my Spirit on 70 other people. Everybody's supposed to be in this one place. Well, two of them, I don't know if they overslept or they weren't in the meeting, and they still prophesied. And so, verse 27 of Numbers 11, there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my Lord Moses, forbid them. But look what Moses said. Moses said unto him, you enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them, on all people. Moses knew there was a time coming. And that's quite a record there. On all of God's people. So going back to John chapter 3, give this brief review of Born Again. Just really cool to just go over some of these things and see how wonderful God's Word makes it plain so that we don't have to be ignorant. I'm sorry, but Nicodemus was ignorant at that time. So, he should have known. And that's why Jesus said, you don't know these things? And maybe this is an indication of the teachings by the religious leaders of his day. You know, they knew, oh, all the details of the sacrifices, and by golly, you better not be doing anything on the Sabbath day. Oh, they were real convinced about all that. But when it came to spiritual matters, ignorant. Ignorant. Ignorant about spiritual matters concerning spirit being restored and made available. So, you know, just because someone back then, Pharisees, oh my gosh, they know all about God. Just because they have a title, just because they wear, you know, holy clothes. Same in our day too, right? Titles don't mean anything. Holy clothes don't mean anything. Do we know the accuracy of God's word? And that's why we take the time to go through it. So in chapter, back in John chapter 3, verse 11, after Jesus Christ said, you don't know these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that which we know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I've told you earthly things and you don't believe them, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And, you know, even today with God's word so readily available, many Christians are ignorant of spiritual matters. And the first verse we read today was, God doesn't want us to be stupid. So therefore, he must give us information, and he does in his word. In the next chapter, chapter 4 of John, we're not going to read the whole record. It's the woman at the well, and Jesus Christ got into a wonderful conversation with her. We're going to pick it up in verse 19. The woman saith unto him, John 4, 19, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. And since she perceived that, she had a spiritual question. Who better to ask than a prophet? So her question was, our fathers worshipped in this mountain. She's a Samaritan up there in Samaria. And you say, you Judeans, that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Well, look how he answered. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God Almighty seeks for his people to worship him by way of the Spirit. Isn't that awesome? Very awesome. And then that next verse, it says God is a Spirit. There's no A in the Greek text. There's no indefinite article. God is Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, well, I know that Messiah comes, who is called Christ, and when he's come, he's going to tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. What a day she had, huh? Wow! The long-awaited Messiah is there talking with you about spiritual matters, worshiping God by way of the Spirit, worshiping God having the Spirit. It's just beautiful. Jesus knew part of what was coming for mankind would be restoring Holy Spirit. And he spoke about it on a number of occasions. And several times during the Last Supper, if you're familiar with those. As well as the first day people saw him in his resurrected body, he was talking about Holy Spirit coming. And as a matter of fact, the very last thing he said before he ascended. That's in Acts 1. Let's look at that. Acts chapter 1. Do you know what's interesting is that the book of Acts opens with mention of the kingdom of God and closes with the mention of the kingdom of God. It's awesome. Verse 3 says, talking about Jesus Christ, well, start in verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And then you think back to the Gospels. The kingdom of God is like unto. The kingdom of God is like unto. In the Walking in God's Power Advanced class, he spends some really wonderful time on that topic of the kingdom of God. It's really awesome. So, being assembled, verse 4, together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. And that's Holy Spirit that he told him about. For, look at this, John truly baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. When they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Is it the end times? People haven't changed. We all want the end times. Is it time? Is it time to get... And he said, look, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But getting back to what I just told you, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And then he went up into heaven. Last thing he said, the gift of Holy Spirit. And then 8 days later came the day of Pentecost, chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. It sat on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the gift. They received that spirit that God had been waiting since Adam blew it all. God had been waiting for it to be available. And they received the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues. Speaking in tongues is a manifestation, an evidence that you have the Spirit. They operate. What good is it to have it if you don't ever operate? They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit, as God gave them the utterance. And then, of course, Peter preached quite a sermon that day. And a lot, if you read the rest of Acts chapter 2, a lot of his preaching was about Jesus Christ being Lord. You crucified him, but God raised him from the dead. God hath made that same Jesus both Lord and Christ. Really gave him a great little sermon. And then in verse 38, well, verse 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. They said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent, which means to change your mind, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit, because it's available. Holy Spirit has been reinstated. The promise, verse 39, is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Anyone who believes in Jesus, who chooses to accept, acknowledge, confess that he's Lord of all people, and believe in their heart God raised him from the dead, Romans 10:9 says, thou shalt be saved. And at that moment you receive God's gift of Holy Spirit. Amazing. And then, as the Bible continues in Acts and the epistles that follow, there is abundant information concerning God's gift of Holy Spirit. Why? Because God doesn't want us to be stupid about it, ignorant, not know anything. So he's given us all this great information. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. Just look at a couple of places. It's sad, but there are a lot of Christians who are like Nicodemus. How could this be? What? I don't get this. But it's here in the Bible for us to take the time to read it and see it. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Born again, begotten us, like it says in verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, that's the first birth, that's the body and soul trip, born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. It's a literal birth that gives us life, spirit life, which is God, what God wanted. The first birth gave us life, right? The new birth, born again, gives us life, spirit life. Look at James. Back up just a bit to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 18 says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. Begotten of God, born again, born from above. Reverend Cummins in the Working Translation translates this verse 18. He by his decision gave birth to us by the word of truth, so that we would be a certain first fruit of his created beings. That's a cool translation, isn't it? Back up just a little bit to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3 and in we'll start in verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. God's kindness, God's love, God's mercy, and God's grace. I want to go back to verse 4 again. Verse 4, note it says, God our Savior. You see that? Okay. God is referred to as our Savior because he authored the plan of salvation. Okay. Jesus Christ is referred to as our Savior because he carried out the plan of salvation. And verse 5 is really interesting. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. The word regeneration means new birth, reproduction, renewal, or recreation. Not, Walter Cummins translates this, not by works of justice that we did, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of being born again and the renewing of Holy Spirit. That's what Peter meant on the day of Pentecost when he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you'll receive the gift of Holy Spirit. Be baptized not in water, be washed not in water. It's not John's baptism, John the Baptist himself said, I baptize you with water. But he that comes after me is mightier than I. He will wash you or baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And I think he's the best authority I know on baptism. John the Baptist. And Jesus Christ, we read it in Acts 1, concurred. John truly baptized or washed you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. So this verse again, repent, or what Peter said, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. So verse 5 again here from the Working Translation, not of works of justice that we did, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of being born again and the renewing of Holy Spirit, reinstated what God had been waiting for since Adam blew it. And verse 6, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. There are a number of verses that you can read in the epistles where it talks about the Spirit is in us. It's in us. It's part of us. It's in there. Can you see it? Nope. Can't see it. But you can certainly see the evidence of it. As Corinthians points out, there are 9 evidences, operation, or manifestations of Holy Spirit. So again, God is referred to as our Savior because he's the author of salvation. And Jesus Christ is referred to as our Savior because he carried out the plan of salvation for us. One more in 1 Timothy 2. Back up just a little bit. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, because he authored the plan. Verse 4, talking about God, who will have all men to be saved, God would like everybody to get born again. Why? Because that was his original intention, for us to be 3 parts, body, soul, and spirit. God wants everybody to be saved. Not everybody will, but he made it pretty easy. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God doesn't want us ignorant. That's why we spend time reading the scriptures, studying the scriptures, taking a class, learning some more. That's why. God didn't want us stupid. Come, be saved and come unto a knowledge of the truth. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. You know, Hebrews tells us, in the book of Hebrews, it says, a mediator is not a mediator of one. Right? If Dave and I had a big disagreement and we needed a mediator, just, that's what, you know, ever heard businesses, they go into mediation or other things. So if that was something where we needed some mediation, Dave and I couldn't go, well, Dave, I'll be the mediator. That'd be stupid. He'd go, no, right? There's one God and one mediator that's between God and mankind, humans. And that mediator is our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who paid the price for all men and women. We'll close in 1 Corinthians 12, where we started, just to read this verse again. Because it really is a very loving verse when you think about it. Being born again, born from above, born of God, born of the Spirit, is a result of nothing we did, but it's God's love, his kindness, his mercy, and his grace. We're literally children of God. The first birth gives us soul life, and the new birth, being born from God, gives us spirit life. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. What a loving father. Who wants stupid kids? We're God's kids, right? He doesn't want us stupid. What a loving God. And so if he doesn't want us ignorant, then he's going to have to what? Show us, teach us, tell us. And where would he do that? In the park. When we look at the trees and just get a nice feeling of God's great creation. Well, God's creation is great. We're not going to learn too many spiritual matters looking at beautiful trees or the mountains or the ocean. And I like all those things. You probably do too. God doesn't want us ignorant of spiritual matters, and his word is full of spiritual matters. So I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning spiritual matters. Father, thank you for giving us your wonderful word that we could learn from and have the truth and not guess or wonder or speculate. That, Father, we could have a firm foundation on which to base our Christian walk on. And Father, that our walk with you is not based on emotions or our feelings or anything else but what you've revealed to us in your wonderful word. Thanks for the privilege of sharing this morning, and God, I ask you to bless everyone who's here in this room and those on the phone hookup, and Father, for those that need physical healing or emotional healing or whatever the need is, God, we just pray and ask you to continue to be gracious in having your ears open unto our prayers like you told us earlier, and that, Father, we can absolutely count on you. You made the stars and the heavens. There's nothing too hard for you. May we put our trust this week in your great, powerful, delivering hand. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ I pray. Amen. Amen.